You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
I'm Jenna Bosgarden, Manager of Digital Marketing for Smart Equine.
And I'm Ashley Lecomte-Lozic, Head of R&D for Smart Equine. Coming up on today's show, we're here to talk about a pretty top-of-mind topic for most horse owners, joint health. We're going to discuss what to look for in horses for healthy joints, how to talk to your care team about joint health, and some things you can consider to help your horse feel and move their best.
There is a lot to cover in this episode, and I feel like we are still only going to be scratching the surface, but I'm really excited. But for anybody listening, make sure to stick around to the end. We have an update to our giveaways that you're definitely going to want to hear. But for now, let's get into it.
Smart solutions, trusted voices. Your source for equine health and wellness. This is Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. The discussions in this podcast are intended for educational and informational purposes and are not intended as veterinary advice. You should always consult with a licensed veterinarian or qualified equine health professional before making changes to your horse's diet or care plan. Hosts and guests cannot guarantee the reliability, accuracy, or completeness of the information shared, and as such, these discussions are not a substitute for veterinarian or professional guidance, and any actions you take are at your own risk. Products discussed on this podcast are not endorsed by Smart Equine and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical issue.
All right, here we are. First of all, it's really nice to have you back. So welcome back, Ashley. Are you feeling restored and ready to get into some like nitty-gritty, nerdy horse girl talk?
I am. Thank you. Yes, I missed you guys on the last episode. Dr. Liz did an amazing job, but I'm so excited to be back. As I always say, like the podcast is like one of my favorite parts of my job. So excited to be back with you, feeling restored, ready to get into it. And what better topic to come back to than joint health?
Right? Like, let's start the year off with the best ride possible. So with that, what, like, for you who, you know, runs a barn, has horses, does research and development, has worked on so many of our products, like when we say a better stride, what does a better stride mean to you in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can mean a lot of things, both, you know, as a rider, as a product developer, as a scientist, but I think of it as like free, comfortable movement, swinging back, nice, free shoulders. You know, there's nothing specifically hindering that movement, a willingness to work, a cooperative partner, right? Your horse has no reason to say like, oh, this doesn't feel right, or I want to do this. And I think that also one thing that we consistently think about is that it's not just legs, number one. For some reason, I think a lot of people get stuck in legs when they think of joint health, but there are joints all throughout your horse's body. And I also think that aside from like physical joints, we also have to think about bone health.
Sure.
Your bones are part of your joints, soft tissues that you know connect those joints, and then the musculature around those joints that supports them. So there's a lot of different pieces and parts that go into joint health besides just the physical joint capsule itself.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because I know when I think joint health, I immediately picture my horse's legs and how he's tracking and how he's using, but there's, like you said, there's joints everywhere. So that's a really good point. And I know for some folks like at my barn and like that I've talked to, like a lot of times we don't think about joint health and joint care until horses are older. But like since working here and spending so much time with all the Smart Equine folks, like it's really re-ingrained that that's not just an older horse thing. Like the moment you have a horse that's going to be in work, you can be thinking about joint care.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite phrases is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Like making sure that you're staying ahead of these things and setting your horse up for success is going to be a lot easier than having to manage, you know, degrading joints down the road. So I do think that thinking about it, no matter where your horse is in their life, where what their discipline is, their workload, every horse has joints, all joints deserve care.
Yeah, I love that, because I mean, older horses definitely get, I think, kind of the majority of the focus on it, or like high competition horses, like really high intensity and activities. But like it's every horse. It's the horse that's going to be going into work in a year or two. It's the school horse that does walk trot lessons. Mm-hmm. It's your trail companion that's working really hard to maneuver safely and soundly over obstacles in their way. Like there's so many different horses out there that use their joints differently, but that's still really important to care for. And I think that's a really good point with the ounce of prevention versus the pound of cure. I love that. I got to remember that one.
Yeah, I totally agree. And even just your pasture buddy that you're trying to keep pasture sound and comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, every single horse moves differently, has different expectations, has different conformations. So they all have different needs, but those needs are, you know, equally important.
Yeah. And so I think that's kind of a good way to get into to how, you know, like what is it that we as horse people can just do? Because I think we try to start a lot of our shows talking about just like what you can do day to day. This isn't like adding anything. This isn't, you know, talking to anybody specific about, you know, extra care. This is just like in your barn, in your life, what is it that you can do? And I know from my experience and from being here that like movement is key. Just like keeping a horse moving is one of the best things you can do for them. And you guys have, you know, what is it, like 50 or 60 horses? So like, is there something that you guys keep in mind for your herd to keep them out and moving as much as possible?
Yeah. So I couldn't agree with you more. Movement is medicine. There's no doubt about it. It's scientifically shown that movement is medicine, right? So just to let's spend like 30 seconds just recapping like the importance of movement. The first thing that we'll mention here is the Wolf's Law, right? And I was doing my graduate work under Dr. Brian Nielsen at Michigan State University. His like statement was always pound the pavement, like get moving. Like you have to keep moving in order for bone to model and remodel. It has to have force applied to it. So get your horse moving. It's going to result in stronger bones. Two, get your horse moving. It's going to help synovial fluid circulate through those joints. It's going to lubricate those joints. It's bringing new nutrients to that cartilage. It's going to nourish that joint capsule. There's no doubt about that. It's going to improve range of motion. So, you know, you take your horse out of a stall after a couple of days at a show and you can feel that even the young spry horses are feeling like a little tight and achy. So keeping mm-hmm. them moving is increasing their range of motion. And it's also helping them to maintain healthy body weight. There's nothing worse for a horse with joint issues or a horse that's pent up than carrying around excess weight that's not necessary. It's just putting more strain on the body. And then arguably most importantly, it is strengthening all of the muscles around those joints. So constant movement is helping to keep all of those muscles strong. Those muscles support the joints. And then, you know, you don't want to lead to muscle atrophy. We'll get into that later. But so without a doubt, keeping your horse moving even a little bit is so, so, so critical.
Yeah, I know my husband is very into fitness. I am less so. But his big thing is doing a lot of activity that, just like you said, supports what's around the joints, like what's connecting it, what's holding it together, what's, you know, supporting it. So devastated to find out that he is right. And maybe I should listen to him sometimes. But I think a really cool takeaway that from what you said is like, the movement, just keeping your horse moving as much as possible, like it affects so much. It's not just like, oh, you know, like it can help a little bit. It's like, no. This is what keeps your, you know, a horse in motion stays in motion kind of vibe, where this is what's going to do as much as possible. And so that in my mind, I feel like most of us consider that to be turnout, like ample amounts of big pasture turnout, which is obviously the ideal for when we can do it. But I know that you have some horses, like your own personal horses, who don't get, you know, 3 acres to, you know, themselves and 2 other horses. So like, is there other stuff that you personally do with your horses to help make sure that they're moving as much as possible?
Yeah, a ton. Okay, so in terms of turnout, obviously 24/7 turnout is the ideal. Like you said, my horses don't even live like that. We do have 2 herds here that do live like that. And those lucky horses they play well with others. Mine don't. So they are, you know, confined to either a dry lot or a small grass lot. And so the best thing that you can do for them is to ride them, you know, to get them out and to work. So, and again, we're not talking a lot. Even horses that are out 24/7, they need to have enough space to like get up to real speed. And then when you're riding a horse, you don't have to do a ton. Really cool study that was captured by Dr. Nielsen in one of his papers is that it only requires between 50 and 80 meters of sprinting to retain like 20% more in bone health than sedentary horses. So we're not talking a lot. How long do you think it takes a horse to sprint 50 meters? Like not long, right?
Yeah, that's so not.
We're not talking like drilling your horse for an hour every day. Like short bouts, short bursts of movement are enough to really help protect bone health and soundness, right? So moving is great when they can't move, when they're on stall rest or when they're confined to stalls in paddocks, riding them is helpful. Some people are lucky enough to have hot walkers. I am not that person, but I know that
we never have those at barns that I've been at. But I know that like racehorse people and a lot of stock horse people, they use them and rely on them because it seems like a really easy, straightforward way to just keep a horse moving for however long you want them or need them to. So I always thought that was pretty cool. But I'm like you, I never had one at my barn. But if I can take a minute and preach about my personal, like, this is new. I've never used one, but I think it's the coolest thing. Have you heard of paddock tracks?
I have not, and I'm excited to be educated on them.
Okay. So I, like I said, I've never had one before. This is not something that a lot of like New England barns are going to be able to accommodate based on, you know, size and spacing. But something that I've seen a lot of barns in Europe doing, which is so cool, is taking, instead of our traditional big squares of paddocks that horses kind of, you know, meander through to graze, they are taking all that space and turning it into essentially what could look like a racetrack system, where it's long looping lines around the property or within the property that is all fenced off. And then they go and they drop off piles of hay and forage and things, you know, every couple hundred feet, yards, whatever it may be, however much space you have. So it truly encourages more actual movement throughout the day as they go from pile to pile that gets refilled. And some people I've seen take it like really next level. Well, they'll like, almost like what I do for my cats for enrichment, they'll mix it up and they'll put logs in one section and then they'll remove that and they'll put sand somewhere in like a small layer and just give their horses something different to maneuver and do and use their bodies and think and be kind of a more natural version of moving around versus a very manicured, very beautiful Kentucky bluegrass kind of field. And there's nothing wrong with a big giant pasture. Like that's the dream when we think about our horses going out. But I thought that was such a cool, innovative way for people to encourage a natural way of keeping their horses active.
I kind of love it. Actually, so I didn't get too deep into some of these studies about the short sprints, but they literally tossed them down chutes and said, go run. And so I think that if they are like, confined is not the word, but if they have a track that's leading them, I think that is interesting to try to encourage them to move a little bit more. And I'm sure that if we were to, you know, I'm sure there's studies out there. If we were to study it, they probably cover more ground in a day than a horse that's just standing in.
Yes. And that's what there's a girl who has like four or five Gypsy Vanner horses. So just like a little fairy herd of fairy creatures. And she put a tracker on one of them and turned them out in her regular field for a week and then turned them out on the track for a week. And I can't remember what the numbers were, but it was a pretty cool difference seeing how much more the horse really used himself and how many more miles he covered just by, you know, having hay spread out through this track system.
I love that.
And she was worried too. She was like, well, what do I do for the horses that don't get along? And she was like, the track system, she had enough space that they were able to spread themselves out and really not run into each other. So she said it was no different than putting them all out in a big enough field to form small herds. They did the same thing on the track. So it wasn't the concern that she thought it was going to be. But yeah, I thought that was so cool. I just love that we, as horse people, are still finding new ways to keep our horses as naturally as possible and give them the best possible, you know, chance of success for their body systems and movement and things like that. So that's,
I love it. I'm going to put this on my capital improvement plan for Oakwood for 2027. I love that. That's a really cool idea. I will. So yeah, I mean, I think that that is super cool. Obviously, in scenarios where horses, I mean, some of these horses are retired, they're not being ridden. Sometimes our riding schedules just, you know, are not as free. I mean, listen, I've got a little kid at home. Like, I don't get out to the barn as often as I could. So, I mean, I love these types of natural movement. But then we also have like our intentional daily movement, right? Getting out to the barn, putting in the work. And again, some folks have hot walkers, those lucky dogs. I'm not one of them. So in the event that my horse is not being ridden for one reason or another, we have hand walking, which is, you know, sometimes boring, but again, getting them moving, very good.
I mean, when I worked at a barn, I was the hot walker. So like, I would go to get my horse out and move him around. But then once people caught on that I was doing that once or twice a day, because I lived so close, I would get Venmo requests and be like, hey,
I love
here's
it.
$600. Can you walk mine too? And for anybody who listens to podcasts, it's a great time to put on a podcast and just vibe. So it can be really great. Is kind of just, I mean, I liked it because I got to just walk around and hang out with my horse. But for everybody who couldn't do that and I got to do it with their horses, it felt good just to be able to get their horse out of the stall, pat them down, make sure they were looking good, and let them move around a bit.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a huge fan. Like when I'm at horse shows, I mean, my horses are out all day. They're just in smaller, they're not in like a huge herd, they're in smaller paddocks. But like when I'm at a horse show, the first thing I do when I get there in the morning after my horse has been standing around for 3 days is walk. Like just take them out, go for a walk, get some grass, you know, take them around the show ground. So I'm a huge fan of hand walking in any scenario in which you need it.
Yeah. And I think when we talked to Meredith in that earlier episode about winter horse conditioning, she talked about it too. So worth bringing up. when you do ride, so if you're not using turnout, or if you're using riding in addition to turnout and in addition to hand walking, just taking a really long time to walk them and let them warm up and let them do big gradual circles and figure eights and serpentines, yep, at a nice slow pace to warm their whole body up. And like, I personally think that's the most boring thing, because I don't really listen to music when I ride or put on a podcast because I'm a nervous creature. So like, I get that it's not the most fun thing to do, but like, there's few things more important than giving your horse that time, because that also, I think, really contributes to the overall like joint health, is giving them that time.
Oh, I totally agree. So a long, slow, low warm up is going to, one, help to increase blood flow, get more oxygen to those tissues. So we've been standing around, we've been in our stall, even like, you know, sitting outside, it's cold out right now.
Yeah.
Getting our, like, switching that, you know, switching that gear into it's time to work and giving them an opportunity to move around and get that blood flowing. Great. Soft tissues obviously are going to need some time to get pliable and soft and elastic, and you're going to increase the range of motion slowly. So asking for a little shoulder in and a little more bendy and working on some lateral work, and all at the, I usually do this all at the walk, and really just encouraging them to use all the pieces and parts of their body and stretch it out. And I find that in doing that nice slow warm up really aids in injury prevention. Selfishly, you have a better ride, so we
right,
like that.
But everybody's winning.
It certainly does benefit them to take it low and slow in the beginning.
Yeah, and so I think kind of like key takeaway really is just like, as you said, movement is medicine. So whether it's turnout, paddock track, hot walker, hand walking, really great warm up, really nice cool down. It's really just as much as your horse can move, let them or encourage them to move. But then there's also the additional things we can do, right? So that's management, that's day-to-day lifestyle, that's taking as much time as you can. But then there's the other things that we can do that's like the add-ons, if you will, to the a la carte services that we do for our horses. So like, I know for my gelding, I swore by the Smart Therapy quick wraps. Absolutely loved those. Put those on all four legs while I was grooming and tacking up, while I was untacking. Like, he wore them in the trailer, he wore them at shows. So there's a bunch of stuff like that. So other than, or I guess in addition to Smart Therapy, because I know you use that too, are there other things you use for your horses?
You know what? I'm like the big fan of proper warm-up, cool-down, and I also keep my legs naked. So like in the summertime, I don't boot my horses, so I don't particularly use ice boots, but I actually have 5 boarders that went in on a deep freezer together. It's big too. And it is like ice chest, and all of them swear by their ice boots. And this is like, and obviously we don't need that right now because it is 2 degrees here in Chicago, but
The ice boots are the natural ones right now.
Yes, exactly. They all have ice boots today, but in the summertime, you know, we have a lot of performance horses. We've got barrel racers, eventers, show jumpers, dressage riders. We have every discipline under the sun in my barn, and people are using them for various reasons, whether it's, you know, for post work recovery, whether it's for injury recovery. So people really swear by cold therapy. I mean, gosh, tale as old as time. Like, you get off after a hard lesson, you go cold hose. But now in the 2026 era, we have cool products like ice boots where we don't have to stand in the wash rack anymore and ice legs.
Yeah. And I know we have a couple folks here at Smart Equine that have talked about it. These kind of became popular after my horse had passed, but like the magnetic blankets and stuff that are really popular. I've heard a lot of really good things about those too. So another add-on, like truly surface, put it on your horse kind of product that you guys can consider. I've heard a lot of really good things.
Yeah. I think when we had Meg on the show, you know, she did bring a lot of cool new concepts for new Smart Therapy products, like the mesh sheets and magnetic blankets. I think there were like some red light dyes. So there's a lot.
We have the red light therapies too. Yeah. I almost forgot about that one.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of options there for like the external, in addition to, you know, proper diet and proper movement, you know, helping them out in other ways, like with these blankets. And I think there were even like some magnetic bell boots. So there's a lot of really cool products out there that you can experiment with.
And we'll tag a bunch of those too in the show notes for you guys, because there's a lot of Smart Therapy, there's a lot of therapy products, but there's definitely some cool ones that I think are worth exploring. And as our usual caveat note, if you are considering a topical therapy for your horse, always talk to your trainer and or your veterinarian. They're going to be able to direct you to the one that's going to kind of get the most bang for your buck, essentially, for what your horse's specific needs could be. So like for Ashley's boarder, she used the ice boots. For my horse that used the ceramic fiber, like there's so many out there. If you're overwhelmed at where to start, make sure you talk to your care team. They'll point you in the right direction. And there's a lot of really cool stuff to try.
100%. And
speaking of your care team, I'm one of those people, like many, many of us, where I was like, I think it's okay if I live off of French fries as long as my horse gets, you know, like quarterly acupuncture and once a month chiropractic. Mm-hmm. And I will swear by the fact that I think that gave him so many more years of comfort than he really should have based on his confirmation. So like, I'm a big proponent of finding some really reputable folks in your area that can do that. Like my veterinarian did acupuncture, which was really, really cool. And then we had a body worker who started as like a human chiro, and he went into horses because his wife rode. So like he was really cool and had a lot of knowledge and always gave like a really cool write-up at the end of it, and like circled things on your horse's sheet and gave you stretches and activities. And he knew a lot about like the products that your horse could wear. So finding some really good additional professionals, whether you think it's woo-woo or not, like it's always worth exploring and giving it a try. I don't know if you guys do anything. I feel like eventers are so much more logical than hunter jumpers.
Well, we're not. No, we're not logical at all.
Which just makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, no. My budget for my horse's body work exceeds most other things in my life. So, and I'm not ashamed of that. Listen, do I go to a chiropractor? Nah, ain't got time, ain't got money.
That's a different podcast.
Okay, I'm obsessed. Shout out my chiropractors, Haley and Dr. Michelle, are incredible. I like my horses are so used to feeling good from adjustments that like I can tell when they're ready for one.
Ooh.
It is like I can feel Andy's always in that left shoulder, always has been until he gets a little stuck in her pole. Like you can feel it when they're out. I'm obsessed with body work. Obviously, lots of different types of body work that you can go for. My favorite is chiropractic care. I used to, many, many moons ago, I used to ride along with a vet, Dr. Mari Hinken, and she was into applied kinesiology and chiropractic and acupuncture. And I learned so much from her, and I just became like a firm believer. And then you ride and you can feel the difference and you can see the difference. So chiropractic care, like you mentioned, acupuncture, even like soft tissue massages. Some people do Graston, laser therapy. There are so many things that you can do in terms of body work. And I'm a huge believer because like humans, I mean, gosh, you get a massage and you can actually feel the difference afterward. And I'm not an athlete. My horse is. So my horse has to carry me around all day. So
I would challenge the narrative that you are also an athlete. You are just choosing to care for the other athlete at an
Aren't
even
you
higher
sweet?
Level.
Aren't you sweet? My husband would laugh at you calling me an athlete, but I...
I'm not saying you're coordinated. I'm just saying you're an athlete in your
yes,
own way.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I too deserve my own bodywork protocols, but alas, I have...
Alas, it's the horses that really get it.
Exactly.
But it's like you said, I think it's really cool. I know my veterinarian at the time did acupuncture. Dr. Becky was the best. And it was really cool watching because like the idea of it kind of freaked me out at first, but she talked me through it. Like I was there for as many appointments as I could be, and watching her put needles into specific spots, knees and hocks were a really big one for him. And watching him go from like holding his body really carefully to having that big release and the licking and chewing and the sneezing and the blowing out air. I was like, oh my gosh,
yep.
Like that's crazy. And then for days after, you would just see how much more loose he was in movement, and like his ears would flop. And I was like, oh, that was nice for you, huh, buddy? So I think if you also try out any of these or you do any of these, if you can be present for these appointments, there's something really cool in seeing how your horse reacts to stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's also worth noting that these things on their own are not the solve, right? This has to be like a full picture protocol for how you're approaching your horse's joint health. The movement matters, proper nutrition matters, you know, riding schedules, and these added bonuses are, you know, the cherry on top. So it is very important that you take a 30,000 foot view at this. And it's like having a chiropractor isn't going to fix all of your problems if your horse has muscle atrophy on his left side, because these have to accompany a good program as well.
No, I'm so glad you said that, because it's so easy to talk about these things because they're fun, right? Like they're exciting. Like I got new boots. I have a chiro appointment. Like these are really fun things to talk about, but they are just a piece of the puzzle that is your horse's joint health. And we talked about, you know, a horse in motion stays in motion, and that's great. We've talked about a lot of these topicals. But then you just brought up the big word, which is nutrition. And like as folks who work for a supplement company, we we know that like these are really big options that people can try. I'm sure you've tried out and used many of the products that you yourself have developed. So I think it's worth spending a good chunk of time on joint supplements and joint health in that way.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as you know, I am a huge fan of forage-based diets. So my first recommendation is always going to be feed your horse free choice, high quality hay. And that is where we start. My favorite product, Andy is on it. He's my elderly guy who is still in heavy work, Smart Stride Ultra. We talk about the like tried and true ingredients, the Mother Nature Big Three, glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, hyaluronic acid, amazing collagen. And then we have really exciting new novel ingredients like resveratrol that are showing lots of promise in clinical trials to help aid in healthy inflammatory responses. Ultimately, you know, we're hoping here to preserve really nice joint health with these ingredients. A Smart Stride Ultra, it's one of our products that does have a clinical trial behind it, which is really exciting, that demonstrated an increase in range of motion in the hock with consistent use. So I do trust that product. I know. I love that. It's one of my favorite babies. But then again, you know, we have products all up and down our assortment, depending on your horse's workload, depending on their age, their discipline, and of course, depending on what your budget is. So we have Smart and Simple MSM. We have our Flex line. There is a ton of different products with different ingredients that are tailored directly to what your horse may or may not need.
Yeah. And I'd love to take a second and kind of hit on the ingredient differences. Cause I think after being here for as long as we have, we kind of understand what these different lines do and what we're looking for. But you just mentioned it, you know, Mother Nature's Big Three versus resveratrol or MSM. Like if we're looking at a joint health supplement, a joint support supplement, and we're seeing glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, and hyaluronic acid, when you say big three, what does that mean?
So these are like natural compounds that have been studied. The Mother Nature Big Three, I think, is just like a revered statement. But those three compounds have been studied quite a bit in joint health, both in equine and in human and other species, and have showed quite a bit of promise in supporting healthy joints. Some of the newer stuff like resveratrol, you know, is still up and coming with the research. But
and that's more like an antioxidant, right?
Yeah. Resveratrol is an antioxidant that aids in, you know, maintaining healthy inflammation response.
Okay.
Whereas like hyaluronic acid is aiding in like nourishing the joint capsule itself.
Got it. So these are all important ingredients. They're all going to do different things. And like you said, like this lends itself to different horses at different workloads. And something that I always want to remind people is that like you don't have to one and done it. With supplements, if you try a joint support supplement, if you've tried one in the past, you're like, I didn't see a difference. That's okay. Maybe that wasn't the one for your horse. There's so many options out there at different levels and things like that. And I know from my horse, I had him from age 7 to 27, and we went through many different joint supplements throughout his workload and lifetime to give him the best support for what he was doing in the moment. So for folks who are competing, you're probably looking for things that are, I'm not going to say show legal because I don't think there's any show organization that is like giving their blessing on specific supplements for the most part, but like doesn't have any banned ingredients for folks who have a nice retiree or a pasture pet or a trail friend that they don't need to worry about that. There's options that have like herbal ingredients too, which is really cool. So I think being like, we can talk about this all day, but I guess what I'm trying to say is like also just being really aware of like what your horse is doing and what is safe, comfortable, and correct for that. And if you're not sure about like what's legal, what's safe, what's not banned, like there's show stewards you can talk to, you can reach out to your organization's governing body. Usually your trainer could have a really good idea, or like a local judge. Like there's a lot of people in the communities that are very willing to help with that kind of stuff. You can even call us. We don't always know, but for some people who are actively competing on your show circuit, they might be able to tell you like, oh yeah, like, you know, I do the Arab stuff out west, so I can tell you exactly what our organization does or doesn't do. So try to just use as many people as you can for that.
I totally agree with that. I mean, there is so much to unpack when it comes to choosing the right supplement. And that's a huge piece of it as well. I know that I have changed when Tilly came into the fold. She was young and I was like, oh, she doesn't need a joint supplement. And now she's on Smart Performing Fans. So I have taken my own advice here that, you know, depending on what horses are doing and, you know, what you're asking of them, they still may need support even if they're young. So now I have Tilly on Smart Perform Advance, which is our newest liquid product that's supporting both joints and gastric health. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And I used to have Andy on Smart Perform Ultra, which is one of our high tier colic care eligible products. I took him off of it only because I don't think I would do colic surgery on him. And,
yeah. And that's a choice that everybody kind of has to know for themselves. There's no right or wrong. So,
I decided to, but a cool fact about Smart Perform Ultra is that it actually has the entire Smart Stride Ultra formula in it. So that was that. So I just downgraded just a little bit down to the Smart Stride. I say downgraded, gosh, I'm still eating SpaghettiOs so that he can have this. So
Don't anybody get it twisted.
Yes, exactly. So I'm a huge fan of a lot of these research-backed ingredients, research-backed products. And again, like Jenna mentioned, there's a whole host of ingredients that you can seek in our Smart and Simple line if you don't want. What is the line? Everything you need and nothing you don't. So if you have a laser-focused idea and you say, I only need MSM, or, oh my God, I was about to drop magnesium. Ashley, stop. Or I only... So you get to pick and choose in our Smart and Simple line. These can be in addition to products that you already have. They can be like a nice top dressing. So ton of different
options.
I'm
so glad that you found a way to say the word magnesium in the episode. I was getting a little itchy.
I didn't even mean to. I said Smart and Simple, and the first word that wanted to come out of my mouth was magnesium. So,
but I think with that, we're like those very simple one ingredient supplements. There's that. And then also for people who are like, I don't know where to start. I'm overwhelmed. I would throw the kitchen sink at my horse if I could, kind of thing. There are combo supplements that we have too that literally covered from hoof to nose and everything in between. So if you're somebody who can or wants to, there's also combo supplements that cover a lot of things, including joint health, including gastric, including digestion. So truly, if you can't find it at Smart Equine, I mean, let us know, because then we'll make it, but I'd be surprised.
Write us in and say, hey, Ashley, I like X, Y, and Z. And listen, what is that saying, that necessity is the mother of invention? So if there's something out there that we haven't thought of, I personally want to hear from you for sure.
Yeah, I think that's very valid. So we've gone through a lot of different options and supplements, and I think that's a lot of great places to start. And my always soapbox caveat is like, whatever you're already doing, great job. Genuinely, if you're a horse owner, it's hard, it's expensive. You're doing a great job just by being curious and wanting to learn more and taking thoughts in and having conversations with the people that also care for your horse. If any of these spoke to you, like, awesome, do what you can, try what you can. I think, you know, I kind of brushed over it, but Ashley, how cool is it that your boarders banded together to buy something that would work and benefit all of them? So like, community it if you can. If everybody wants, you know, a really expensive, you know, magnetic blanket, everybody go in and put up a schedule on when you guys are going to use it and things like that. There's always, not always, but there's very often ways to make things happen if it's not in your budget or your timeline to do it on your own. So
I love that so much, because we have like 3 or 4 boarders that also have like MagnaWaves or Beamer blankets. And those things are like upwards of $20,000 sometimes.
Yeah, so it's a small fortune.
That's like a car or a new horse. So certainly leaning into your community and you pooling resources to try to give your horses the best that you can is always an option too, because I certainly do not have a spare $20,000 to buy a MagnaWave. So I'm certainly glad that I have a barn full of folks who are willing to help Andy and Tilly out when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So Ashley, with everything that we've gone through, for joint health, for joint mobility, for longevity and soundness, what would be like your number one thing that you would hope somebody would consider or take away from what we've talked about, from everything, which is like a big ask, I know.
Like, move, right? Like, gosh, just move. Like, everything starts to, the use it or lose it, right? Like, you start to, have you ever seen like the marathoner who's like 97 years old and they do like the splice of like what his thigh bone and thigh muscles look like? And like,
I think it would make me really self-conscious.
I mean, movement. Like, I can't get over that enough. Obviously, nutrition and management is important, but keeping you and your horse moving, like, nothing could be more important than that. So, and it, again, you do not need to get to the barn and drill for an hour every night. 50 meters, right? That's all. It's just just a little bit. A little bit is better than nothing. If you don't have an indoor and you need to go for a little snowy walk, you're doing a great thing for your horse. If you don't have a hot walker and you need to go for a hand walk, you're doing a great thing for your horse. any way that you can show up for them to get them to move. If you don't have a paddock track and your best option is to toss them out with a bunch of friends that chase each other, you're doing a great thing for your horse. You know, in my scenario, my horses don't live outside 24/7. They also don't live in a pasture. They live in a pretty small half arena size paddock during the day and in a stall at night. So if the best thing you can do for them is to give them a 20-minute walk every day, you're doing a great thing for your horse. Move them for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you took mine, so thanks. But I think the other side of that coin that I was going to say is that we talked about how MagnaWave is $20,000. We talked about how you're eating SpaghettiOs to afford a chiropractic for your horse all the time. Movement is free in so many cases.
Love it. So true.
You can afford 20 minutes to get out to the barn and hand walk a horse, or Venmo the local barn rat to walk your horse for 20 minutes as the former local barn rat. Super appreciated. Loved that for me personally. Well, there's a lot of options out there, but if you can get out there and spend time walking, hand walking, long lining, tack walking, whatever it is, just to get your horse moving, movement is in so many cases free and pays itself back a thousandfold in so many ways.
Amen. Yeah. I love that. Movement is free. That should be our next t-shirt.
There we go. We're adding to the merch, guys. The merch that doesn't exist, but we're
the merch line that doesn't exist.
Yeah, we're emotionally and mentally adding to it all the time. But
yeah, I agree with Jenna.
Like we said, though, if there's anything that you guys want us to drill down into more on how to research for a joint supplement that works for you, how to talk to your vet about these kind of things, how to talk to your trainer or your barn manager, feel free to write us in. I'll go through the giveaway stuff later, but when we go through the giveaway on that form to enter for your chance to win, we have some feedback questions, and I've loved hearing what you guys have had to say. It's helped shape our show in small ways and improve over time. So definitely give us a shout with anything that you guys think. I know there's a lot that we've gone over already. And as self-proclaimed supplement nerds, I feel like we kind of had to breeze through a lot of what we would normally talk about with supplements and ingredients and the research and cool stuff happening there. But for anybody who's listening and agreeing, great news. This episode is the science of a better stride, but we're actually going to do a part two on this, which is going to be the science of a better joint supplement, where we're going to go so much more in depth. We're really going to let Ashley spread her wings and flex her research and development scientist muscles and just give us all more or less a schooling on how so much of this stuff really works on that end of things. So if you're like, man, this is cool, I'd love to learn more, you're not alone. I do too. And so we're doing it all again in part two soon. New year, new update to how we do giveaways. I'm going to explain it all in just a second, so stick with me until the end. For this episode, episode 12, we are giving away a Smart Equine prize package. You'll receive a $25 Smart Equine gift card and a Smart Equine thermos, which is pretty perfect to keep your Coco or your adult Coco warm while you're breaking ice out of the buckets this weekend. Or maybe that's just what my Saturday is going to look like. Anyway, you can enter to win by clicking or tapping on the link in the podcast description, which will take you to our giveaway form. Or you can go to our giveaway directly at www.smartequine.com/podcast giveaway. And here's what's new. Our giveaways are now open for the entire month, which means you have plenty of time all the way until February 28th to get entered for your chance to win. Good luck. You can find links to today's products in the show notes on your podcast player or on the website at www.smartpackequine.com/blog.
We're here twice a month on the 15th and 30th, but in between, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Smart Equine, or you can shop online at smartequine.com.
So until next time, stay smart, stay moving,
and give your horse a cookie from us.